Welcome to the FTN NBA Podcast with your hosts, Adam Pfeiffer and Joe Metz. Presented by the FTN Network, this two-man fast break runs you through the best cash and tournament options for every game on today's slate.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back. FTN Fantasy NBA Podcast here on Thursday, January 28th, 2021. Just four games here tonight, and it's a pretty straightforward slate. I mean, you have the Clippers, who are still missing the same guys that are missing the other night. Portland, who they've obviously been missing their, two of their three main players in McCollum and Nurkic. And then you have Phoenix, who we expect to be without Devin Booker again, at the very least, and a Miami situation. So it's one of those slates where there's going to be plenty of value, and there's going to be plenty of players that are going to be viable because of injuries or health protocols, but still a lot to get to nonetheless. Adam Pfeiffer here. Joe Metz back with me. Joe, what's up, man? How was your, Wednesday night? Yeah, Wednesday night.
Yeah.
How's your Wednesday night going?
Good, good. I appreciate your flexibility. I know I was supposed to be on the podcast for Wednesday, but last couple of days, dad life has been kicking my ass. It's still a lot to get used to, so caught up on sleep most of the day and night. The last few nights, but excited to turn my attention back to DFS with a pretty straightforward slate for the most part.
Yeah, so the only thing I will say is for this slate that you'll have to wait on, obviously, the Miami situation, and yeah. I think the Lakers, too, and we'll talk about that when we get to the Lakers game, but I have something that might be worth paying attention to for the Lakers, okay. So we will get to that, but let's start with Portland and Houston. Like I said, CJ McCollum, Yusuf Nurkic still out, obviously, but Robert Covington also out with a concussion. He missed their last game with the concussion. Derrick Jones Jr. is probable, and on the other side of this game, it looks like Christian Wood is back. He said he feels 100% healthy. He's ready to go. His ankle injury has kept him out for the last three games, but he will be back, which means DeMarcus Cousins at 7,200 is probably somebody we can avoid. They just haven't played these guys together this season. So I guess let's start there with Houston. It's pretty straightforward, but at the same time, a lot of these games we had Christian Wood with Harden after the trade where they didn't have Oladipo yet and John Wall was hurt. So now yep. You have John Wall back. Oladipo's there. All of a sudden, there's not as much usage to go around for Houston because you have, those three are going to dominate the usage in the starting lineup. But then the second unit, you're going to have Eric Gordon and DeMarcus Cousins. So who do you like from Houston?
Oh, it is tougher. I still like the price on John Wall. I know, he played, I want to say mid-20s in minutes last game. I expect him to be a full go, not on a back-to-back. And he's only 7,300 on FanDuel. On DraftKings, he's 7,300 as well. So I think it's a really stomachable price, especially on a four-game slate. So he'd probably be my number one priority. I don't mind Oladipo at 8,100 on DraftKings. He's just been, I don't want to say inconsistent, but his efficiency has really been lacking. He has not shot above 33% once in the past three games. He's gotten off to notoriously slow starts with Houston, and obviously playing catch-up. If you're in a starting lineup now with Christian Wood, John Wall, the bench with Eric Gordon, DeMarcus Cousins, if you get off to a slow start, there are so many other guys that can pick up the slack where they might not need to go back to him as much as they did his first two games with the team. My curiosity with this team peaks at the center position because Christian Wood, first game back, his price is pretty appealing on DraftKings at 8,700 compared to what his point per dollar production has been to this point. And on FanDuel, he's $9,500. So that price discrepancy off the bat sticks out. I'm just now curious, one, do you think that there will be any type of restriction on Christian Wood? Because this is a very exploitable matchup. So if there's not, I want to be a full go on Christian Wood. And two, because of how effective DeMarcus Cousins has been up to this point, it hasn't really been a DeAndre Jordan, Jared Allen situation, an Andre Drummond, Jared Allen situation. It's been mostly Christian Wood getting 37-ish minutes, DeMarcus Cousins picking up 18. Do you foresee that changing at all? Do you see DeMarcus Cousins picking up an extra 6-7 minutes a game just because of how effective he's been. What do you see shaking out at the center position? Because I would ideally like to target Christian Wood in this matchup.
I don't think Christian Wood will be limited because of injury. I mean, it was an ankle injury, but like I said, he said he's 100%. He only missed 3 games. Not like he missed this huge extended period of time. But at the same time, I wouldn't be shocked to see Wood down to like 34, 35 minutes and Cousins up to like 22 potentially. And like regardless, you're not playing Cousins at 7,200. They're not going to play these guys together much, if at all. I think Christian Wood's still perfectly fine. Like I said, I don't think he'll be limited, but maybe his minutes come down by a couple. But he should still dominate the glass when he's on the floor, have a high usage rate. Portland's defense is terrible. I do agree that John Wall is a little bit interesting. He played 24 minutes last game. If he can get up to like 28 to 30 at that price, he could be in play, especially on a 4-game slate.
Damian Lillard has also statistically been one of the worst defensive point guards in the league this season.
Right. I probably don't see myself getting to Eric Gordon at 6'6". Just
I don't either.
A little bit too expensive. He can get you 30, but I think the shot attempts could come down a bit here. And especially because Cousins was starting, and that meant Gordon was dominating the usage with the second unit in some of these games. Now he's going to be playing alongside Cousins plenty. I just don't see a huge ceiling for him. And then the rest of Houston is really, I mean, P.J. Tucker just... He just doesn't do anything other than occasionally rebound, but he's not going to rebound now with Cousins and Wood both playing at the center position, you know, whenever he's on the floor, so that's going to hurt.
Portland. The return of Daniel House, too, obviously kind of negates the desire for Jayson Tate. So, I mean, House at $4,100 is interesting, but I have a hard time seeing him get, you know, those 36-plus minutes we have become accustomed to, especially just because how crowded they are on the wing now.
Yeah. For Portland, I mean, play Dame if you want. We know what we're going to get from Dame. Among the league leaders in average dribbles per touch, average seconds per touch. He's second in the league behind Luka in time of possession per game at around 9 minutes. It's just, I don't really know what else to say. But the rest of his team, do they interest you with Robert Covington out? Like I said, he's out with a concussion. Derek Jones Jr. is probable, and I believe Rodney Hood is also probable. But, yep. I mean, they started, you know, Derek Jones Jr. and Gary Trent in their last game with Melo, Cantor, and Lillard. And they had a really tight rotation. It was only 8 players, I believe. So Portland, like, the non-Lillard players could be pretty interesting here with Covington out.
Yeah, I agree. And my attention, once again, will turn straight to Carmelo Anthony. $5,600, his price did rise. Just about a thought. I think he was $4,700 last slate on DraftKings, but he got the start, played a shade under 35 minutes, shot the ball 21 times, and on the season without Covington, McCollum, and Nurkic, he has the second highest usage rate on the team at 27.5%. Peripherals aren't there. Like, he used to be a guy that could go out and get you 7, 8, 9 rebounds. I don't know if that's a reliable outcome at this point in his career, but you really, at $5,600, like, he has more than enough ability to go out and get you there, and then some, strictly off of scoring. So as long as he's in the starting lineup, which I fully expect him to be, he's going to see heavy minutes in a tight rotation, and as long as he's on the court, you know he's going to shoot the ball. I have absolutely no problem going back to Melo. And with Robert Covington out, that also increases the rebound potential for Enes Kanter, and we saw he had 23 boards last game. Like, his price is at $7,100. I want to say I'm hopeful that will kind of push some or scare some players off from a sticker shock standpoint, just because it's $7,100 for Enes Kanter. But again, he's a great point per minute producer. With those three off the court, he produces 1.19 fantasy points per minute, 24% rebounding rate, and he's also on FanDuel only $6,500. So I think he is a very strong play. I still prefer Carmelo if we're looking at the ancillary players, but Cantor's a 1B to Melo's 1A for me.
With Rodney Hood missed Monday's game, like with him back, it kind of takes me off Gary Trent at 5K, just because
I agree.
Since McCollum's been out, the minutes haven't really been that high for him. He's taking plenty of shots when he's on the floor, but the minutes aren't great, like I said. Like, I would just rather play Hood at 4,300 or go up to Melo, like you said. And yeah, I mean, Cantor has so much rebounding opportunity and potential, especially in a game like this. And Lillard, you know what you're going to get with Damian Lillard. So,
what do you make of Anthony Simons? He's seen 23 plus minutes, two straight games, still minimum price on FanDuel, but I think the 29 minutes were somewhat of a product of Rodney Hood being out last game, but he might have earned himself 20 plus. Do you see any appeal in Anthony Simons on a four-game slate?
Yes, because it is a four-game slate, and like we talked about it on the podcast. Or maybe it was, I don't think it was on the podcast, but the last Clippers game might have been over the weekend. But like DraftKings did a good job immediately pricing those guys up on the Clippers because we got the news on Kawhi and Paul George before the slate was up. So like we don't have like, it's not a situation where a lot of the Clippers players are out and we have this glaring spot for value from LA because there are some cheaper plays, but they're not just the stone, you know, lock value plays. So yeah, four game slate, I think he'd still get to like you said, 23 minutes. Minimum price on FanDuel and 4,200 on DraftKings isn't the worst.
Yeah, I don't, I think I like him more than Gary Trent.
I mean, yeah, I don't fault you for that. I mean, Trent's, like I said, Trent's minutes just haven't been great.
He also just hasn't been the permanent producer we saw, you know, during the bubble.
Right. All right, let's go to this next game, Lakers at Detroit. The Lakers are finishing up a game against Philadelphia right now, so this is the second end of back-to-back for both these teams, actually. I think Anthony Davis sits here.
Why do you think Davis over Bron?
So I was watching this game. Davis, in the beginning of the game, was holding his knee, was getting it iced on the sideline, came back in and everything like that. Then he also took a shot to the face from Joel Embiid. I wouldn't be surprised if he kind of wakes up in the morning, isn't quite feeling 100%, a little bit sore, and the on the second end of back-to-back, the Lakers rest him. So I'm going to this game not expecting like confidently that he sits, but if I had to guess, I think there's a really good chance Anthony Davis sits in this game. So let's get it out of the way, though. If he doesn't sit, he's 8,900. This is the cheapest I've ever seen Anthony Davis. He was 9K on Wednesday night, like, so weird to see, but this is the ideal or not. This is the non-ideal spot for LeBron and Anthony Davis because LeBron's averaging a career low in minutes per game because they've been limiting him when they can and blowing teams out. They could easily blow Detroit out. And at 10-4, you know, LeBron's price was also down to that low 9K range, but he's had back-to-back really good games, so it's back up to 10-4. If Davis sits, I still want to play LeBron at 10-4, especially on a four-game slate. If Davis is in, it scares me off LeBron, obviously, with the Lakers. I mean, we don't know what the line is going to be, but I would imagine on the road they're like, you know, 8 to 11 point favorites.
Right now on FanDuel Sportsbook, they sit as 9.5 point favorites. Honestly, on a four-game slate, if he's active, I don't mind Anthony Davis at 8,900. I'd be more inclined to play him than I would LeBron at his price. As dismal as the Pistons have been this season, I wrote this up in my Denver Gazette betting article, like taking a look at early lines for this slate. The Pistons have actually been one of the better teams in the league at covering, and they're 9-7 against the spread, and their average point differential is only 3.5 points this year. Like, I expected them to be losing by a lot more. Lakers' average point differential is plus 9.8. Spread is 9.5, so I don't necessarily – a blowout is definitely in the cards. Like, the Lakers have the highest point differential in the NBA right now, but – the Pistons have been a sneaky good team at covering the spread. Both games against the Bucks this year, they lost by, I think, less than 12. So they could stick around long enough where at $8,900, Anthony Davis could pay off his salary. I don't know if I'm confident that they'd stick around long enough for LeBron to pay off his salary at almost $2,000 more. But if Davis is out, I don't see a way really around LeBron. And I think, obviously, then there's that trickle-down effect where a Kyle Kuzma at 4-3 on DraftKings, 3-9 on FanDuel would quickly become one of the most popular plays on the slate. Trez would see, you know, an incremental boost, although I will argue with people, and I'm sure any sharp mind in the NBA industry understands this, but like Trez shares the court with Anthony Davis a lot, so he's not necessarily a direct beneficiary as much as someone like Kuzma is.
Yeah, because Davis will move to the five and Trezor
come in at the four. Exactly.
What about Markieff Morris? I think Davis missed one game this year, and Morris entered the starting lineup, and I think it was the Bulls game. Yeah, the Bulls game. He played 29 minutes, had just over 20 fantasy points, minimum salary on DraftKings. Like, I really do think there's a very good chance Anthony Davis sits in this game.
Yeah, I mean, and again, I 100%, I was not watching the Lakers-Sixers game because obviously the better team was playing tonight in Milwaukee.
Right, the Cavs were on, I agree.
Oh, yeah, correct. Colin Sexton, MVP this year. if he's taking these shots, like he is one of the more delicate players in the NBA, like, I don't see – I'd say there's a much higher chance he sits than LeBron. LeBron hasn't sat a single game this year, and that would obviously open up a ton of value for L.A. But outside of, like, the players we just covered, Dennis Schroeder's enticing at 5'7", but it's not necessarily a play where, like, I'd really go out of my way to go there. The exact same price – or $100 less, I'd rather go Carmelo Anthony positions aside than Dennis Schroeder tomorrow. There's just guys in that price range I prefer more, regardless of whether Davis sits or not. So I think my priority would be Davis if he's in. If he's out, LeBron 1, Kuzma 2. And that's going to be a popular train of thought, obviously.
Yeah, LeBron's over a 36% usage rate, 1.5 fantasy points per minute with Davis off the floor this year. So he would be tough to get away from if Davis sits, but obviously keep an eye on that. For Detroit, does anybody stand out? I mean, Jeremy Grant, 8,400 in a tough matchup. Blake should be back, but haven't really wanted to play Blake all year. Derrick Rose is 5'4", but his minutes have been really up and down, and there hasn't been a ceiling for minutes. Like, I don't see anybody. Wayne Ellington's been shooting incredibly well lately, but he's back up over 5K, and it's like I'm just waiting for the game where he doesn't hit like half of his shots from three, and when that happens, because the peripherals are not there, he's going to be a bust. Like, I don't really like the Pistons at all in this game. Like, if you're stacking it, and you like if Davis is out and you want to play LeBron and run it back with Jeremy Grant, Jeremy Grant's not going to kill you, but I don't know if this is a ceiling spot for him. I don't think Mason Plumlee is going to be active for this game because Andre Drummond posterized him back into a new dimension tonight, so he might not even be active.
Do you think there's a chance Derrick Rose sits on the second line of a back-to-back?
It's possible, and I will say Mason Plumlee like actually isn't that bad of a play. 28 minutes in back-to-back games, 4,800 on DraftKings. They might need him to play more minutes against Davis and Gasol if Davis is in there. So like, I joked about it, but Plumlee at that price actually isn't terrible. I'd rather play Plumlee than Blake Griffin.
I would too. We've talked.
Don Wright was good again tonight too. By the way,
that's another guy right now that the industry kind of has sticker shock about. But regarding his salary, like he's definitely outperforming salary based expectations. Like he's playing really well. $6,700 does instill some sticker shock, but the minutes have been there ever since Killian Hayes went down. Volume is somewhat erratic, but he's racking up a massive amount of peripherals. Like he's had at least three stocks in two straight games. He's had 6, 9, 7 assists, 7, 6, 7, 7, 4 rebounds. Like he's doing just fine where I think his baseline with Rose active is probably like 27 DK points. At $6,700, if he has that absolute floor game, that won't kill you. But he also has like 50 fantasy point upside, which he's showcased. So I think he is a strong play. I think he becomes a very strong play if Derrick Rose does sit, and we've seen that happen on back-to-backs this season.
All right. Keep an eye on news from this game, obviously. By the way, I blame you and myself for saying to start recording this podcast at 10 because I'm missing the end of the Lakers-Sixers game, which is apparently very good, Twitter saying. So I'll blame you, although I should be blaming myself. Clippers at Miami. Should we even break down the Miami side until
it's really hard?
Is there any point?
No, I don't think there is, because obviously Tyler Herro has missed four straight games now with neck spasms. Goran Dragic sat on Wednesday. His status is completely up in the air. Jimmy Butler now has cleared the COVID protocols and he's working on conditioning. There's just so much ambiguity right now where we could say one thing on the podcast and in 12 hours the rotation could look completely different. I think regardless of what the rotation looks like, I think Bam is a very strong play at 9-2, especially against the Clippers team we saw on Tuesday, was it? But it's really hard to sit here and back any other play because we have no idea what this rotation is going to look like.
Yeah. I think like you can play Bam and feel fine about it. Now he's up to 9,200, though, which is a little bit scary, but we just got to wait and see. For the Clippers, though, we obviously know Kawhi and Paul George are going to remain out. I believe Patrick Beverley has also been ruled out again, so the same three players out for the Clippers. In that last game, they started Terrence Mann, Luke Kennard, Reggie Jackson, Nicholas Batum, and Serge Ibaka. Like I said, though, like these players aren't priced like real value options. Batum, 6,300. Reggie Jackson's coming off a really strong game. He's 7K. He did play 39 minutes, so dominated the usage. Like, he would be the one guy. And then still, with all that going on, Lou Williams, 22 minutes. Like, he's not 100%, I feel like, and it's just that he's just at that point.
Ty Lue just doesn't play him. Right. I don't know if it's like the beef they have about how they spell Lou, but like, he's past his prime. I will say it, even in this scenario, I don't view him as a viable DFS option. I don't. Terrence Mann, like, he played 22 minutes, but Terrence Mann drew the start at shooting guard, and he played 34. And for all intents and purposes, like, Terrence Mann didn't have like a massive offensive performance, but he had 9 boards, 4 steals.
His rebounding rate is actually, I wrote about it, his rebounding rate has been very good. I wrote about this prior to last game with George and Kawhi off the floor. He's kind of like a guy that will get rebounds but not really do much else. But he's a 27% rebounding rate with those guys off the floor. The 13% usage rate isn't anything to write home about. But again, if he's going to play the minutes,
it doesn't matter at the and he's, peripheral rate.
He has been priced up obviously too to 5,400. It's kind of slate specific for the Clippers. Now, I mean, it's a 4-game slate. They're going to be short. They're two best players and a point guard. Like, they're going to have to play minutes. So if this was like an 8-9 game slate, the Clippers really wouldn't be that exciting.
If they played on Wednesday, I can confidently sit here and say I probably would not have targeted a single one at these prices. But their first game without Kawhi, Paul George, and Pat Beverly was a 3-game slate. Their second, it's a 4-game slate. You're kind of just forced. The roster construction just forces you into it, and I'm okay with it. I think in terms of priority here, looking at Reggie Jackson at 7K just like really makes me nervous. But like, he has some of the highest upside on this team right now. So Reggie Jackson's up there. Serge is a pretty high priority for me if you're looking strictly at the Clippers. But this matchup with Bam is not one you want to go out of your way to target.
He actually was second on the team in usage last game behind Lou Williams, 27.5%.
Outside of those two, I think Terrence Mann and Luke Kennard was kind of disappointed me on Tuesday, but he still saw 28 minutes, 13 shots from the field. Peripherals and especially the assists just weren't what we expected. Prior to last game, Luke Kennard actually led the team in assist rate in about 56 or 57 minutes without that trio on the court. So I expect his assist rate to come back up a little bit. So I do still have interest in both him and Terrence Mann.
All right, keep an eye on the Heat. We'll obviously see if Dragic is back, if Hero's finally back. I don't think Jimmy Butler will be back, but maybe. It's tough with the Clippers, though, because they are so, like, I don't know if they're fairly priced. They're just not values, so to speak, as you would think they might be. But let's close out. Just 4 games. Golden State at Phoenix. The Suns and Warriors also played on Wednesday night. Devin Booker, dealing with a hamstring injury, didn't play on Wednesday, now missed 2 straight games. I would consider him very questionable for this game. Cameron Payne was also ruled out. We'll see if he's in there. Last I looked, the Suns were a complete disappointment. Like, DeAndre Ayton was one of my favorite plays of the slate on Wednesday night. He was doing nothing in the first half. Same with Chris Paul. I haven't checked on what they've done since, but it was definitely underwhelming.
Still underwhelming. Yeah, they had 54 brutal. Points halfway through the third quarter.
Brutal. Golden State's about to play the Timberwolves, or they're playing them right now, so we'll see what happens with them. But the thing with the Suns is they've been priced up because Paul's 8K, Ayton is 7,800. Jay Crowder's 5'5". Like Cam Johnson's over five. Both Crowder and Johnson are over 5K. Bridges is 6K, and it's like he plays so many minutes, but he's such a low usage player. The Suns are kind of it's a pace up spot against Golden State because the Suns have been playing so slow. Paul has been a floor play all year, but maybe there's a higher ceiling. Maybe this is just a bad game for them tonight on Wednesday, and then Thursday will be better. I think right now, assuming Booker's out, Chris Paul would be my favorite at 8K. Mm-hmm. But, man, it's so hard to do this when you have that bad taste in your mouth from Wednesday night.
Because I agree.
I was so, so high on Cam Johnson and DeAndre Ayton in particular.
Yeah, I agree. And they're still, regardless of the fact that they're missing Dario Saric, Cam Payne, and Devin Booker on Wednesday, they're still running a 10-man rotation right now. And Javon Carter has 13 minutes midway through the third quarter. Etwan Moore has 12. Nader has 10. Kaminsky has 9. Like, they're still running a decent amount of minutes where, outside of, like, Chris Paul and DeAndre Ayton, I wouldn't say any of these guys is a lock for more than, like, 32 minutes, which also worries me at their elevated prices. You know, this has been a team, even with Devin Booker, that you and I have kind of struggled to peg on the head just because the usage rate is distributed pretty diversely throughout the roster. They run a very methodical pace, and they run a half-court offense, and they're a good defensive team. So they're not one that we target much in terms of DFS. But devil's advocate, a four-game slate, it's a really good matchup. Like, this is a massive pace-up spot for them. Golden State has been playing much better basketball as of late, so I expect the game to stay close. I align with your line of thinking. Chris Paul is, by default, probably my favorite option. DeAndre Ayton at 7'8 is enticing, but I don't know if I'll get there. I frankly prefer Enes Kanter for $100 less, and I am going to try and get it to Christian Wood at that position. So it kind of leaves Ayton as the odd man out. And I'm still okay with Cam Johnson. $5,300 is fine for the minutes he's getting. He's at 19 midway through the third right now, and we're recording. I expect him to be over that 30-minute mark for the second or third consecutive game. Totally fine with Cam Johnson. Jay Crowder's fine, but I prefer Johnson for a few hundred dollars less.
For Golden State, Steph Curry was underpriced on Wednesday night. We'll see what he finishes with, but up to 9,700 for this game. Again, Phoenix's defense has been very good this year. Chris Paul has had a lot to do with that. But they do allow a lot of points per game off screens, and Curry's been doing that. So it's kind of a sneaky, decent matchup. But it's also a slate where it's like there's not a ton of security, honestly. Like, you have Lillard, you have LeBron, but again, it's like if the Lakers do what they should do to Detroit, LeBron's ceiling could be limited a bit. And then you have, you know, maybe Davis plays, maybe he doesn't. We talked about the Houston guards. They're a little bit, you know, worrisome to an extent. Like, Curry is one of the best bets on the slate here in a four-game slate. So, like, I don't really care about matchup on a slate like this with how Steph Curry's played this year. And I get that same question or problem with Golden State. It's like, I don't get to Wiggins very much, but he's the safest of the next, you know, of Oubre and Draymond and the centers. Draymond's got the low ceiling. Oubre played better last game, but
he's also been priced. Like, I was much more inclined to play Oubre and accept the volatility when he's been in that mid-5K range. He's now been priced up to $6,400, where I don't know if I want to stomach that volatility. But it's a four-game slate, so it's tough. Like, I do prefer Wiggins even for $6,900. But it's ugly, man. Like, the centers are ugly.
Yeah, Kevon Looney started for the second straight night on Wednesday night.
I mean, James Wiseman he saw 16 minutes against Minnesota, and that was the first game that Looney took over the starting role. I would like to see him. I mean, obviously, we are recording the game. I believe it's still in the first quarter. Let's take a look. 3 minutes left in the first quarter, and James Wiseman checked in. In 2 minutes, he has 8 points and a rebound. So he's playing really well tonight so far. If he cracks the starting lineup, if they somehow revert back, which I honestly highly doubt they will just because of how foul prone he's been, and I don't think they'll do that against DeAndre Ayton, but I wouldn't mind him for $4,900. But if he's not starting, I don't think I have any interest in either center on this team. And I can't stomach playing Draymond. I don't care how cheap he gets. He's actually $5,600.
Yeah, he's been priced up a bit. Like,
he's been priced up.
I've talked about Draymond a lot. There's no ceiling. I've played him in some spots when he's been like 5,200, 5,100. Like,
he's $4,900. $4,900, excuse me, on FanDuel. I'm still a little hesitant in playing him.
Yeah, I don't blame you. It's not a sexy play. And the rest of his team, like, I just don't.
He's averaging like half of that triple double that you predicted. 5, 5, and 6.
He's almost there. He just needs.
He's got like 50 games left. He could do it.
I mean, if he starts to play like 36 minutes, maybe, but I don't think he's going to get there very often.
I think they'd be a better team if he did.
And they certainly wouldn't be worse.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything else from this team.
No,
there hasn't
really
been
all
year.
To me, it's Steph Curry or bust on here, and he's just continued to be underpriced, and I want to continue to take advantage of it.
Cool. Four games. It's kind of an ugly slate, to be honest, because you have the Clippers mess, you have the Miami mess, you have Golden State and Phoenix, which is a little bit messy given the slate and the prices. We have the uncertainty with the Lakers and Detroit game. Not so much like if it's going to be played or anything, but like I said, I have a hunch Anthony Davis sits. That opens things up, but if he does play, the Lakers, even though you said Detroit, pretty good against the spread, they could easily get blown out here.
Yeah, 100%.
So it's kind of messy. There's not a ton of security on the slate, I feel like, but there are a couple superstars to choose from. So any closing thoughts? Quick podcast for us here tonight. It was change of pace. We went like an hour and 15 with Kyle on the 12-game slate on Wednesday night, or on Wednesday, and now just a 4-game slate that takes about a half hour.
Hey, hour and 15 for a 12-game slate is a pretty damn good pace, if you ask me. So, pretty straightforward slate. Looking forward. I am looking forward to it, but excited to get back on the podcast for a full slate for Friday, too.
Yeah, so look forward to that. And, of course, all the great content at FTN Daily. Best of luck on Thursday's slate. Have a good one. We'll see you guys on Friday to close out the week.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of the FTN NBA Podcast with Adam and Joe. Please subscribe, rate, and review the podcast.